Welcome to the Financial Flight Plan with Tim Estes and Bree Reyes. When it comes to your financial future, we believe the sky is the limit. We'll give you the proper tools to keep your engine portfolio running smoothly. Let us pilot the answers to some of your toughest financial issues. The Financial Flight Plan starts now.
Welcome to another edition of the Financial Flight Plan. I'm Walter Storholt alongside the great team at Estes Financial Services. Tim Estes and Bree Reyes joining us this week, investor coaches and certified financial planners as well. Looking forward to the conversation today and glad that you've joined us. We're talking about reaping rewards for financial sacrifice. You know, it can be pretty difficult to make financial sacrifices when the reward for doing so might not be seen until many years into the future. We all want that instant gratification in today's society, it seems. But we're going to talk about some of the situations where you might be inclined to take that immediate benefit, but the team at Estes Financial is going to tell us why we should strongly consider delaying that gratification, delaying that benefit to a later date. And these are things that you guys are probably seeing in the office all the time. And I think a good one to probably start off with this week will be passing up on a 401k match. It seems like a no-brainer to take that free extra money from your employer, but for some people, people don't want to take advantage of that opportunity. Maybe they don't realize what they're setting aside. Do you guys see this a lot?
We see it all the time. We work with a lot of federal employees, and they have a 5% match. And we'll see people that are only putting 1 or 2% in, and I'm telling them, you're leaving money on the table. And they, well, I really have to have the money to pay bills. And I go, but you can't afford not to. You know, you're leaving dollars, free money on the table that you could be reaping. You know, if you're putting in 5% and they're putting in 5%, that's 100% return on your money without doing a thing. So you really need to be doing the matching.
And it's amazing once we run the numbers for how much that match can compound over the number of years. I've seen potential clients cry because of how much money they left on the table and how that would have desperately changed their financial situation.
That's rough. And I'm guessing 100% return, because that's exactly what it is when your employer matches dollar for dollar a certain amount of money you put into that account, you're not going to be able to really outpace that anywhere else in the financial world, right?
Nope, you're sure not.
So don't leave that money on the table. Don't pass up on a 401k match. Now, going beyond the 401k match, they say, let's say 4%, and you match, you put in the 4%, they match that 4%. That's a different story, right? So you're not saying, hey, you have the ability to contribute 15% to your 401k. Doesn't necessarily mean you have to go that high, but at least go up to the match. Is that usually the advice?
At least.
Yeah, anymore, because pensions have gone away. Most companies do not have a pension. I like to see at least a 15% contribution. If you factor it all out, Social Security isn't going to cover your living expenses. So you really need to be putting in as much money as you can. 15% really is kind of what I look at as a minimum. And I understand people have budgets and they need to put food on the table and make sure the rent is paid or the mortgage is paid and everything. And little Johnny needs a new pair of shoes. But every time you get a pay raise, you need to increase what you put into your 401k, because if you don't plan for your retirement, you got to think of it this way. Retirement can last anywhere from 25 to 30 years. My dad lived to 93, and it was a struggle for him the last 15, 20 years of his life.
Well, and also don't forget your bonuses. We're getting toward the end of the year with a lot of bonuses coming into play.
Oh, that's a great point. Yeah, bonuses coming in. If you can defer all of that into retirement account or into even an investment account and then leave it alone, that's a great, good point, Bree. That's a great thing to bring up.
Because there's some more free money you didn't know you weren't counting on. At least you shouldn't be counting on.
Yeah, it's not already worked into maybe your monthly budget. So pretend like you're not going to do that. You know, I do that with a side gig. I broadcast college basketball kind of on the side during the winter, and I don't even count that money in my budget, and I just let it go straight into savings. So I don't even any checks, any payments that come from that job, from that thing that I do on the side during the winter. I just view that as just great contributions into the savings. I pretend like it never existed, and that's, you know, one way to think about doing your bonuses, I guess.
Exactly.
So useful,
wonderful idea.
Useful tidbits there. All right, I said we were going to start off with the easy one. I think that one, certainly you can see the rewards for sacrificing. You save a little bit more, and your company's going to match those dollars, you know, dollar for dollar. That is a win-win all around for you. The others might be a little bit more complicated for people to see the delayed benefit. Let's talk about maybe tax-deferred accounts. So I'm contributing all this money, let's say, to a 401k or an IRA, but if I'm only saving in tax-deferred accounts, hey, I'm getting the tax benefit nowadays, but what about into the future?
Oh, this is one of Tim's favorite topics.
I'm a big proponent of Roth IRA, and a lot of companies now are going and providing a Roth 401k, and there is a lot of bad information out there. Oh, I make too much money to contribute. Well, you may make too much money to contribute to a Roth IRA, but you don't make too much money to contribute to a Roth 401k, or if the company offers such a thing. And you could be making $1 million a year at your company, and if they offer a Roth 401k, the same contribution limits apply as to a regular 401k, and taxes and inflation are two of the biggest bugaboos that scare the heck out of me for retirees in the future. So if you can put money into a Roth 401k, I recommend you do that, because tax-free money down the road is going to pay you huge dividends compared to taxable money coming out of an IRA.
Yeah, that's a great point. My wife has a 403b that has the Roth option, and when we discovered that, it was just like, oh, this is fantastic. What a great opportunity to put away dollars that don't have to take the tax benefit this year. But that's the big trade-off, right? You're not getting the tax benefit now, but when you go to take the money out in the future, you're not having to pay, you know, some large chunk of money in retirement to taxes. But, you know, there's the age-old debate, I guess, of it's nice to have the immediate benefit now compared to in the future. And so you just kind of have to weigh those options and see what's going to be more beneficial to your budget and as you prepare for the future. Speaking of weighing your options, a lot of people will want to cash out of a retirement plan in order to cover another need. That certainly covers an immediate benefit there if you've got that retirement plan sitting around that you can tap into that money, into those dollars, but you're really shooting yourself into the foot even more than the tax situation here.
Oh, very, very much so. And it depends. You may even be penalized depending upon your age, and it depends on the plan whether you can even get money out of it if you're still working and contributing.
There are such things as hardship withdrawals or hardship loans and things like that, but you need to stay away from those, because the power of compounding and the power of the tax deferral is huge. And when you get to retirement, you're going to regret having taken money out and spent it in an earlier part of your life, because that money's just not going to be there. You really, really need to leave your retirement plan alone until you are, ta-da, retired.
That's the reason they put those penalties on there. I worked with a couple of nurses who looked at it as a vacation fund.
Oh.
And once I, it was a vacation fund. And so once I broke down, they were young, how much the penalty was going to be, how much the taxes were going to be, they quickly realized that that was not the same as a savings account. Mm. And it had been explained to them multiple times. But until we did the math and showed them the numbers, they didn't realize how much they were losing by trying to take money out of it.
Yeah, it's kind of like putting a large purchase on a credit card and then, you know, not paying it off at the end of the month, and then you pay it off, you know, maybe over time or months or years later, and that, you know, $1,000 trip in this case ends up being a, you know, $4,000 trip because of all the taxes and penalties and interest that you sacrificed by taking that money out. I mean, have you ever seen a situation where it did make sense to cash out of a retirement plan early? Was it because of one of those hardships or for some other reason?
Well, in dire sickness or illness or complete financial straits. I had one case where the husband lost his job, and it was through no fault of his own. It was back during the 2008 Great Recession, and they had no choice. They had to have some money to live. The wife had been a stay-at-home mom, and they needed the money, so they had to take money out of their retirement account to just be able to live until he could find a job. I mean, he was looking for anything, part-time, whatever, but they did have to tap into the retirement account to make ends meet. They had to still eat. They still had to have a roof over their head. And it was a bad situation. And fortunately, after about 6 or 8 months, he did find another job. It wasn't as well paying, but at least they could stop the hemorrhaging on the retirement accounts.
Well, that's helpful. So use it as it's the very last resort, final backstop that you should ever really consider cashing out of those retirement plans. Just keep that in mind. Maybe no better example when we talk about reaping rewards for financial sacrifice than the decision people face when they hit the age of 62. And you now can turn on Social Security, but wait, if you wait, there might be a better opportunity to earn more from Social Security down the line. In exchange for waiting a few more years, you get bigger payouts. But people want that Social Security money. They want those dollars right when they can take it. You've been setting it aside from your paychecks for so long. When you're eligible, you want to just start giving me that money back, I think is the mentality a lot of people end up having. What exactly does the situation look like with claiming Social Security at the right age? How does that conversation play out for people, especially in the framework of talking about financial sacrifice?
Well, the big thing is if you take Social Security at age 62 versus your full retirement age, you're essentially penalized for life. 25%. So you forfeit 25% of the benefits that you could have if you took the money at full retirement age. That plays out to a lot of money. And my dad is a prime example. He retired and took the money at 62 and he lived to 93. The hundreds of thousands of dollars he would have had different if he had just waited to full retirement age would have exponentially helped his life. But people see those dollars and they want to jump in and do it. And if you wait to full retirement age, which for most people are 66 or 66 in a couple of months, you're looking at breaking even in about 12 and a half years. So by the time you're 74 to 75, you've broken even and now you're to the positive. So unless you have major health issues where you need to claim the money or claim Social Security early, it's always better to wait. Not always, but most times it's better to wait. Like I said, if you have major health issues or something like that, because not only does claiming early affect you, it will affect your spouse's benefits.
That was exactly what I was going to bring up. It hurts your spouse for the long term as well. And then, and this is something we work with our clients here at Estes Financial about, is claiming strategies. We look at different reports and look at different times and how it affects them long term. And it's amazing, claiming early, the damage it does to the overall portfolio.
That to me seems like the key here in the conversation about Social Security. We view it as a very individual thing, right? When is it best for me to take Social Security? And then just because our spouse also has Social Security, I find that, you know, in talking with a lot of folks, they overlook the fact that, well, their spouses, that they're taken care of. They've got their own Social Security, not realizing that if, you know, mine is higher, then it might be in her best interest for me to wait and wait and wait longer, especially if I think she's going to outlive me. Just using, you know, myself as an example, I can drastically change the amount that she can expect to have for the rest of her life by taking that sacrifice on my part and waiting a little bit longer. So it's not just when to turn it on, but when you're dealing with couples, Bree, I think you bring up an excellent point. It's not so much just saying yes or no. It becomes really a strategy of which one gets turned on when, might be different answers for each couple. And I think that's kind of part of the complication of it, but I would imagine that's also part of the fun of doing all this planning when you get to sit down with couples and kind of look at the numbers, see what their situation is, and then, you know, try and figure out what's going to be the best strategy for people. That sounds like something you get passionate about.
It is. It's something I get very, very passionate about because I've seen it in real life scenarios, how it can change people's lives. The amount of money you can receive over the course of your lifetime can change your life.
Absolutely.
And it affects both of you. It's not an individual conversation.
Yeah.
It's a family conversation.
Here's the thing, though. If you have already elected to take Social Security in a certain way, well, you're pretty much out of luck. You can't go back and undo these decisions. So if you're nearing Social Security age and you don't have a plan in place, Time to talk to the team at Estes Financial about the best way to claim your Social Security. Make sure that that is part of the conversation. Now, my last example here about reaping rewards for making sacrifices in your financial life might seem like a bit odd and maybe a bit self-serving, but that's okay. Working with the wrong advisor is a tough band-aid for people to pull off sometimes, and so they end up just sticking working with the wrong advisor because I guess they just don't want to go through that awkward conversation. But it's a situation that a lot of people fall into, and they're not really putting themselves first. They're not putting their family first when you decide not to work with an advisor who's the best fit for you. Do you guys see this from time to time where people are already working with an advisor and it might not be the best fit for them?
Oh, every day. And sometimes it's because the conversation is awkward and a little bit unpleasant, but what they don't realize is if they're working with somebody who doesn't understand their risk tolerances or their time horizons, they're setting themselves back.
It can really, really hurt you financially. I had one case where it was a family member. It was a cousin or a brother-in-law. I can't remember the exact circumstances, but they didn't want to hurt the feelings of the good friend slash cousin or whatever. And I'm going, well, why don't you just take $3,000 out of your pocket every month and pay him, and then we'll do something better with your money and make sure that what we're doing is more specialized to what your needs are. He looked at me kind of funny and go, well, why would I pay him if he's not working? I said, well, you're working with him now and it's not working for you. So I think you need to figure something out. Eventually they did make a change, but it was for an awkward conversation within the family dynamic. So we do see this type of thing happen, and it just happened to us. There have been cases where I've sat down with somebody and through the course of time, we've drifted apart or grown apart. Our philosophy or investment philosophy no longer fits what they want or what they deem appropriate. And we're not going to compromise our integrity. And so we decided that it was best that we part ways. And it's just business. It's not personal. It's just business. You need to work with a specialist, someone that you know and like, and is doing what you deem appropriate for your particular situation. And if you're working with somebody that's not doing that, then you're doing yourself a disservice and you're doing them a disservice because they're trying to do their best. There's a lot of great financial advisors out there and they all try to do their best. But if it's not a fit, it's just not a fit. It's just like dating before you get married. You date a lot of different people before you find that right special one that you want to marry.
And I found that if people are maybe pushing the relationship and it's not necessarily a perfect fit, then they don't enjoy the planning. They don't enjoy saving. And it hurts them over the course of the long term. It's like going to anybody you don't necessarily want to go see.
Yeah, I think it makes a lot of sense. I mean, it's when I had braces, this is, you know, on a different scale of an example, but when I had braces, I was not a big fan of my orthodontist. It wasn't just because I was scared. I loved my dentist. It was the orthodontist who always just, you know, scared me, and I didn't like him, and we didn't get along, and it was always a really frustrating experience. He would always blame me for the problems with my teeth, and I can't help it that my mouth doesn't like the braces, and, you know, it was all just a terrifying experience to go through and not something that was enjoyable at all. And the dentist really should carry the same kind of experience. But I enjoyed talking with the dentist. It was a much easier process to get through. So you dread one, and then you're less likely to kind of follow through and put the best practices in place. You enjoy the conversation. You enjoy the experience in another realm, and everything fit together perfectly. Now the dentist always says I have amazing teeth whenever I go and visit them. So, you know, blow that up to the financial realm. If you don't like talking to your advisor, if you don't like interacting with them, or you're nervous too because you might have to confront them about something and you don't feel comfortable doing so, that's detrimental to your overall financial health and success. You need an advisor that you can push back on, but at the same time, respect the opinion and have those true conversations with. And I think that's what you're going to get when you work with the team at Estes Financial Services. And if you would like to talk to them about your financial plan, maybe some of the things that you're going through as you prepare for your retirement future, we're happy to take your call. The number is 817-444-8255. 8402. That'll put you in touch with Tim and Bree and the great team there at Estes Financial Services with an office in Fort Worth. 817-444-8402 is the number to call, or you can always find them online, estesfinancial.net. Again, that's estesfinancial.net, and you can see them on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. They're in all those different locations as well on the internet. You can subscribe to our podcast by going to iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher, and you can hear all the new episodes when they're released each week. If you are not receiving the weekly email that lets you know a new episode has been posted, you can subscribe to that on the website as well. EstesFinancial.net, again, is the place to go for that. Coming up on the next podcast, Bree will be back with us, and we're going to be talking about the glory days of financial planning, how things used to be when it came to preparing for retirement, how things have changed in today's world, and what we can learn from the past. That's all coming up on the next Financial Flight Plan. Tim and Bree, a pleasure as always. Thanks for guiding us on the show today. Any final thoughts?
Just go out and lead an abundant life.
Security is offered through Triad Advisors, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Estes Financial Services, Inc., which is not affiliated with Triad Advisors.